That was a good word. I'm always encouraged with God. Like he picks this small little ant and we can learn from it. Like sometimes we think we're so great, but the little ant teaches us still things. It's just amazing how God's word and just who he is. So I know it was a hot day. Maybe some of you are a bit tired. So let's do something. I know COVID, so we don't want to get too close. But maybe to the person next to you, think about something that you appreciate about them or what you love about them, or just say something that you like about the person next to you, okay? Or behind you, or Taylor, you can do Mark if you don't have somebody or don't know them, so get to know them just for 1 or 2 minutes, okay? Just somebody next to you, tell them what you appreciate him. All right. Enough love. Enough. Hello. No, it's so good. It's great. I love it. Doesn't it feel good? Feels good to hear something good, no? Feels good to give some love. It's nice. So, Father, we just pray that it's your message, Lord, and just your spirit moves tonight. You speak and open our hearts and make us excited for what you have. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you want to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3. So 2 Corinthians 11, verse number 3. And I think I preached that message a while ago on that verse, so it will be a bit different this time. But so the verse says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And it was just, in my heart was just, okay, many of us maybe walked with Christ for many years, so we are Christians for a while, and we have our life, and can get complicated sometimes. Like as parents, you have the kids, you have work, you have friends, and just a lot of things going on. But just to bring us back to that simplicity of Christ. Like the enemy, is that what he wants us? Hey, life is complicated. Everything, you have to be very smart to figure it all out. But here it says, just go back to the simplicity that's in Christ. And the word simplicity can also mean not just simple, but it also can mean singleness. Like it's all about Christ, my life. I have a singleness about him. And I have a sincerity. Like it's free from pretense or hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Still learning. Grace of God. Learning English till I die and learn the word till I die. So, but just that it's sincere. Like we just sincere, okay, God, I want to follow you. And I preached a few weeks ago about the pure heart. Like it's in our heart, really, okay, Christ, I just want to go back all about you. And I just realized the last week, like I did things and I felt like, oh, stress. Sailor starts school and just other things. And I felt like I had this stress and I just like, wow, God, that's not right. Like I can have a lot of things to do, but I can still do them with peace if I have you. And just God stopped me and like, hello, come back. Like preach the gospel to you. And I laughed, like when I was up at the ministry center, like the one pastor always came and asked, "How you doing?" And I was like, "Doing all right." He was always like, "All right, wait, does God love you? Did he die for all your sins? Are you going to go to heaven? Did he give you a new family? Wait, how are you doing?" And just, I think it's so important that we remember this truth in the morning when we get up, because I can tell you from experience, we can easily forget. We can easily forget, and just preach to us in the morning and like, okay, who is Christ? What did he do for me? Like, who I am in him? And just remember and take your time. Like, I was just reading a book about like praying, and it says the most dangerous thing is like, and especially in America, I think we sometimes guilty of it, is like, okay, I do a quick devotion. Okay, let's read 2-3 verses. Okay, I'm good, I can go. And of course, sometimes this may be the time, but God, unfortunately, it's not like, oh, you have to do an hour or whatever, but at the same time, God needs time to speak to us. God needs to all these noises from the world, all this stress, everything, to quiet it down that we can hear him. So it is important that we really give time to God and spend some time there and like, okay, I rehearse the gospel. It's really me. Because if we do it quickly, I know I go out, something bad happens, and that message is almost gone. But if I really spend time, really internalize it, I can go out and when something bad happened, it's right there to bring me through it. It's right there to bring truth into that situation. So that's just a little bit. And so another story. So Selah, when she finished kindergarten, they were reading a story to her. And I don't remember all the details, but just the gist of it was kind of like that. There was a king, and he came to a town. So the whole town was preparing. There was one, a very good painter, and he was like, "I make the nicest painting for the king." There was a goldsmith, and he was like, "I'm gonna make the nicest ring for the king." And there was this little girl, and she was like, "I don't know what to do. I don't really have any special gifts. What should I do for the king?" So she goes to the painter, "Hey, can you help me? Maybe learn me how to do a painting." And he was like, "Sorry, I don't got time. I'm doing that painting for the king." The same with the goldsmith. "I don't have time." So then a man comes, just in normal clothes, on his horse. He says to the girl, "Hey, can you maybe help me to get like some drinks for my horse? And can you maybe show me around the town?" And the girl was like, "Yeah, I want to do a present for the king, but I don't know what. So yeah, I will do that." So she leads him around and spends time with him. And just they talk to each other. He gets to know her. So after a while, the man comes back. And he tells her that he was the king. He is actually the king. And he tells her, "I went to the painter. Painter didn't have time for me. He was busy doing a painting for the king. The goldsmith didn't have time for me. He was doing the ring. But you had time for me." And just that, like, it hit me. Sometimes we can get occupied with other things, even the work of God, and be like, "Oh, I have to do all of that." But just simple time with God. Like with Mary and Martha, he said, the one thing that is needful. She did the one thing that is needful, sitting at my feet. And just that falling in love with Christ again. Like, we were doing outreach last Saturday. And just, like, I can tell you, it's not like a work you have to go. Sometimes it feels like it, honestly. Like, the enemy goes against it. It's like, "I don't want to go, but I'm doing it. God, you call me." But I'm so encouraged afterwards. Like, we spoke to 3 teens, and just the Spirit almost ministered to me and was, "You know what Christianity is all about? There is Christ, and we just love him. We fall in love with him." Like, I remember in the beginning, I read, like, the Bible to the gospel, and just like, "Who is this man? I never saw a man like him. Like, he's bold. He's so gentle. He has so much power. Wow, he loves me." And just to fall in love with Christ. Like, simplicity, go back to that. Like, wow. Like, I'm still amazed with him. And I'm still even amazed at the bigger miracle. Like, when I read, there's never a doubt. Could Christ lie? Could he told a lie? It's just clear. No, he's 100%. He always tells the truth. Like, does Christ love me? Of course, he is love. Like, just to have this security that we have through the Spirit and through the Word is just, like, amazing. That we can know him and just fall in love with him. But then, Now the bad news. No, but so let's open quick to Matthew 24. Many people know it speaks a bit about the end times. Some people think we are close to the beginning of sorrows, or we are in the beginning of sorrows, and a lot of bad stuff will happen, or? And let's maybe start in verse 10. And I'm not going to go in all the details. It's just one verse that I want to focus on. So Matthew 24, verse 10. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And just that, the love. So if all this iniquity and all these wrong prophets, what's the purpose of it? What does it do to us? Our love is going to be waxed cold. And I think if we're honest, maybe we can see that slowly happening. Like our love, okay, it's my life, I have to do my things for other people. I don't have so much time, or my plan is first priority, and our love for the people slowly maybe waxes cold. And this is just a warning. It says here that can happen because of all this iniquity around us. Maybe because of our own iniquity that we are just tempted by the world and fall into, our love can wax cold. And so that's just something that I think we have to keep in mind, or that's just like, okay, what can we do about that? What can we do about that? And so first we always start, whenever there's a problem or anything, I have a question, I don't start with self, I go to God. Okay, who is God? What does he has to say about it? And we know God is love. So if love waxes cold, where can we find love? By God, in God. No, that's where we go. Because many times we focus on the iniquity and focus on all these things, but that's not going to get our love stronger again. It just makes it colder. But we have to stop and go back to God. And one thing that love is, I think we talked with Rob even about it, maybe months now ago, but love, we have this thinking, and especially like in our culture, love, it's like it's a feeling or it's like a mental attitude that I have. But love, I think most of the time it involves an action. And like the scripture, when you read, it's full of it. Like God always has an action. Like God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And in Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love for us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. It was an action involved. And maybe just to prove it again, one more point. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. I didn't memorize that yet, so. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. So his great love. And he loves us. And what does he do? Hey, I love you. Bye. No, his love has an action. He's like, I love them. I know they're in sin. What can I do about it? How can I show my love to them? I'm going to come and take their sins, like Josh said. I'm going to come and go to the cross for them. It's just natural for him. His love has to pour out an action. And many times we read it on the cross, but of course that's the beautiful demonstration of God's love, and that's where the finished work, it's all fulfilled. But does God still love us now? 2,000 years after the cross? Of course. And if you want to go to Romans chapter 8, Romans 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So God loves us and he gave us his son. Like the most precious, most valuable, the greatest gift. But with Christ, he said, I gave you all of me. I gave you all. Like I give you everything freely. Right now, God still loves us and he works in his action toward us. And sometimes it's hard, like the story, for example, Richard Wurmbrand. Most of you are maybe familiar, like he was in prison for 14 years. And he was tortured. Like I know he had to go in this one like room. Well, I don't know the exact name for it, but the doors were closed and there were nails on each side, sharp nails. And he had to stand for probably a day or 2 days. Like your legs get tired. If you want to sit down, you hit the nails. How does God love me? How is God's love in that? I'm getting beaten. I can't walk anymore because my feet are just so crippled from the beating. I'm in prison. I'm alone. I'm getting tortured. I have to listen to communists like, there is no God. Your God is not true the whole time. But God says he loves me. How is that possible? And sometimes, but I think the greater miracle, after 14 years he got out of prison, you know what he does? He still preaches Christ. He still preaches Christ. How great is that love that a man can be tortured, can have so much suffering, but he still believes in Christ, still knows that Christ loves him. Like that's the greatness of his love, that he can bring him through these trials and he still go out and cares for the body of Christ, cares for the other persecuted Christians and want us Americans to wake up and help them. Like that's love. That's the greatness of his love, that he can be tortured and still know that Christ loves him. Like I'm amazed, because we can be in all our trials like, God, do you really love me? But the love is that he is with you and that he brings you through it and that you can glorify him through it and afterwards still. Like, that's amazing. Like, if people would do that to us, beat us with everything, we would probably in ourselves, like, I want nothing to do with that. But God is greater. So now, just quick. Okay. So love, and I think that's Pastor Stephen said, that love is always in search of an object that will receive its action. So love is always in search of an object that will receive its action. So God is love. His object that receives his love is us. Christ came because he loved us and we were the object. Now for us, what can we do with that? So let's go to 1 John chapter 4. verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. You know how you make love perfect? By love in action. That's how love is perfected in us. And nobody sees God. But what does it say is, if we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. So of course, the object we all know, like love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, but also love your neighbor as yourself. The object of our love is here. Look around your room. That's the object of the love that God gave us, that he wants it to go forth. God gives us the love, and that's the object that our love in action can work. Wherever you go, and that's, I want to quote that quick too. Richard Wurmbrand had a quote. Are you seeking Jesus? Where have you been looking for him? As you begin your day, think to the various places you will be, and the people you will be with, and envision Jesus standing next to you in each of those places. And I think God gave us imagination, and it helps when we do that, to check, okay, Christ is here, he loves me. I maybe don't care about that person, but I know Christ next to me, he loves them. And that love that he has for that person by the Spirit, he can give that to me, and I can speak to the people next to me with that love. And just for me, sometimes I'm like, I'm going through my days and just even a short conversation, sometimes I have to do that and that. But just like, hey, just stop quick. Just a short word. Love sometimes just the listening ears. It's just like maybe, hey, I'm glad to see you today. Okay? Of course, we want that it opens the door for the gospel at the end. That's what, but the gospel is showing the love of Christ in a way, you know? And so just to be open for that. And a similar thing, just if you, well, maybe on the same page, or one page back, in 1 John 3:18 it says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." That's again, love, not just in words. Hey, I love you. Especially here in America, when we come from Switzerland, my mom always the first thing, they always tell you, I love you. That's so weird. Like in Switzerland, only family you say to each other, I love you. Or if you know like your spouse maybe or a friend that you knew for 10 years. But here you meet somebody, like especially in church, we like extreme with that. My mom goes, people came to me and said, I love you. That's weird. But just that, if she would be here, and it maybe takes some time, but for a year, and she would see, wow, there's deeds to this love. People really care for me. And just to put in action our love, you put that in action. And just one verse before, or two verses. So 1 John 3:16. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we are to lay down our lives for the brethren." Like that's just God showed us, okay, what is love? Love is that I lay down my life. Now that's what you should do. Like Christ, when he washed the feet, I left that for you an example that you can do the same to each other. And of course, Christ, in a way, nobody can go to the cross and pay for the sin. But the love that he showed, he still commands us in a way to do the same. Love one another with the love that I loved you with. And that's, it's a challenge, it's from God, but like we said, we can grow cold to that love. We have to stir each other up, and we have to take an action. It's like so interesting, I don't want to do it. Then I take the action, and maybe talk with somebody about Christ. Maybe I just know, oh, this person's car broke down, I do a step. You know what it happens? The love increases. I find joy in it, my love grows. By having love in action, my love grows and it gets more. And I do the next thing and the next thing, and somewhere it has to start. So just in the morning, pray for opportunities. And then, yeah, we can maybe just bring it quick up. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. "By concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you." And I think in a way, I mean, that's a reason when I came to the church, I was like, the first thing I realized something is different, these people really love. So I think there's really love in this church. And where do we get this love from? For you yourself are taught by God. God is the author of love. He teaches us how to love by the Spirit. But then if you go to the next verse, the last part, "But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more and more." There's no end to love. It's not like, now I got it. Now I know how to love people. It's not like now I can sit down. We're always going to grow in God's love. There's no end to it. So we can always learn. We can always be taught by God. How does love look like in this situation? God, what does it mean to lay my life down for a brother in this situation? Like in the past, maybe I did it like that, but now I see, wow, there's a deeper way. We always learn in it. It's amazing. But then just one quick thing that really hit me. In Matthew 16. Matthew 19. Matthew 19, verse 16. And we all know this story. probably most of us, about the rich young ruler. And we may be going to read it quick. So verse 16, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou my good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thy will enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Like, it's interesting, he quotes the commandments, but he didn't bring the first one, who was like vertical related to God. Like, don't use the name of, like, don't have any idols before God, don't use his name in vain, the Sabbath. But what he focused on, in a simple way, like, that's the how we put the commandments together, love your neighbor as yourself. He says, like, love people, that's what you're missing. You're not loving people. But what does he say? "The young man said unto him, All this thing I've kept from my youth up, what lack I yet?" Of course he did. I mean, who did? But Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me." And so that's maybe a bit the challenge for us. So God says, love people. And he comes, and maybe we can say, yeah, I try, I love them, I'm not as bad as others. But he says, if you really want to be perfect in love, go and sell what you have. Go your possession that you maybe have, give it up. And the interesting thing, imagine this is a rich young ruler. So he worked hard to get his money. I guess, we don't know the whole story. Maybe he just inherited it. But I guess now he probably was smart and did some work that he got his money. And he has to give it up. And I can't tell you, I pray the Spirit minister to us, what is that in our life that I maybe build up in my life and work hard for, but God tells me, hey, put that aside. And you know what he says, even more interesting. Okay, now he says to me, sell all that you have. Okay, I can do that. But then at least I give it to my family. Okay, or I give it to other rich people who use that money wisely and don't just spend it foolishly. But God says, give it to the people that you despise. Because I think this rich young ruler was like, these poor people, they don't know how to work hard. And he says, give it to them. Lose all control. Like, it's not just give the money up and give it to the people that you know they still do well with it, but give it to the poor. God says, if we love the people that love us too, we're not better than anybody. But if we love our enemies, the one that despise us, that makes us different. And I think, I mean, there's many things about self-righteousness, but I think Christ also wants to teach that to him. That's, you have all the possession, but you know what you lack? You lack love. We can have everything in this life, and we know in 1 Corinthians 13, we can have all faith, we can have all these great things. But if we don't have love, it's worth nothing. It's worth nothing. And so let's just take care of that love. Because we know at the Ephesians church in Revelation, they left their first love. We know the love can grow cold. And so go back to simple Christ, what he did for me, preach that, okay, how can I love today, you know? And we know the truth, we know the, like, we have so much to give. Like, Christ blessed us so richly. And just to take that in and then look for opportunities how we can share this love. And it says in Hebrews, like before it says, don't forsake the assembly of ourselves together. It says, provoke one another to good love and to love. And that's why we hear also, one is to love one another, but also to challenge each other, to provoke one another. Like, I think sometimes in America, we sometimes a bit like always the clap on the back, you're doing great. But the hard things sometimes, like the wound of a friend, faithful are the wounds of a friend, sometimes we're missing that a bit, but in love, of course, but like, okay, how can I help my friends to to love more, to do good works, like encourage each other, provoke each other, stir each other up for that. And the promise of God is, in Hebrews, we're going to close with that, in Hebrews 10:24. No, that's the wrong one. Hebrews 6:10. Sorry, that was the one we just did. Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Like, that's a promise. It's not that we just do it for the reward. But God sees what he does, and he remembers these things. He remembers our labor of love. And that's, I think it's an encouragement for us, like when we feel down something, God knows. And he remembers the things that I do in love. So let's do that. Let's challenge each other, and let's just realize how much we are loved. And then let's just sometimes, they also said it also, let's keep it simple, stupid, you know. Let's keep it simple and just go back to loving God, receiving his love, and loving one another. Amen. So, Father, wow, we praise you, and we all need it. I need it, Father. Our love can wax cold. We can get just so easily distracted with the worries of this life, Father. And just, we are taught by you. Teach us how to love. Help us in the morning to just receive your love, Father, and just show us the labor of love, love in action, Lord. And we just give it to you, and we trust that you hear us and that you will show us. In Jesus' name, amen.